I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I mean, you did. It felt like once they invoked Mason's name, you did get more. You got annoyed. Like, you were okay with it. You were just kind of like befuddled. But then when they compared you to Mason, you seemed offended. Yeah.
I don't know if I was offended. I just honestly, though, when we just played it back and I heard it and I heard what Lindsay said, there was a word that she said right from the beginning that just did not register with me. And the notion of name dropping. Listen, here's the thing about me, George. I'm a name dropper, okay? I can't run from that. I name drop. It's true. I do it. Sometimes I actually will say in advance, get ready, I'm about to name drop. Yesterday, though, I was just going to see if I could slide it by, you know? Hey, you know, I really didn't have a strong opinion about what these guys were doing. Thought I'd seek the opinion of a real expert in the industry. So I called Adrian Gonzalez, the former first baseman of the Dodgers, and I thought I could just keep rolling. But I got called out on it. It's true. I did.
Well, I just want to say that you mentioned the word. I said a word in the beginning that didn't register with you.
Yeah.
So if we were to listen back to the rejoin, Morales played it, you know, mentioned it. I literally just said, did you drop something that you need to pick up? I repeated myself. What there did you not register? Like, what, well, it's not like I said a weird word.
No, it wasn't a weird word. It was just, I think that I don't know. I just go back and listen to it again. There was the first part of what you said that I was like, I don't know what she said. Even listening to it just now, I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
But we'll nonetheless.
All right, then play the open one more time. Let's hear it. Go ahead, Laura. Play it one more time if we have it. Do we have it? Is it like readily available?
Yes, give us 2 seconds.
No, it's not readily available.
It's really
ready.
Long,
it's
though.
Ready.
We could just stop it, though.
KSPN, Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
A little sabor.
It is George Sedano. It is Scott Kaplan. Sedano and Cap is on for a feel-good Friday afternoon.
I'm going to have to say respectfully, I'm going to disagree.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know.
Well. Yes, I know. We got real Dodgers talk. It's a celebration victory Friday. But first,
you got any money? You got any stuff?
I have to highlight yesterday when Cap, not shockingly, missed the joke.
I love the music.
I actually called Adrian Gonzalez, the former Dodger first baseman. I said, what do you think about this move?
Did you have something you got to pick up there?
Wait a second. Say it again.
Did you drop something you got to pick up there?
Did I drop something I need to pick up there?
Yeah,
didn't you hear the beginning of that?
Yeah, bro. You don't get it? Name drop.
What?
Yeah, you definitely did not understand what she said at the beginning, but then she repeated it.
Right. When she repeated it, then I was like, wait. Because at first it was like this, Lindsay. You were like, did you drop something?
Did you drop something?
Well,
sorry.
It was a little bit. No,
okay,
it was
either
okay.
Way, you act like I said something in French.
No, it wasn't in French. It just was in mumble. And so in mumble, I didn't understand it. But even if you would have said it perfectly crystal clear, I still didn't get it.
Right.
So it didn't really matter. You could have said it in all mumble or in perfect clarity, in total stereo. I still didn't get it.
Yeah.
But I will get it next time, by the way. Next time I name drop and you tell me that I dropped something and I need to pick it up, next time I'll know
you
that it was a name drop.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to go to that well anymore. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with Laura. Yeah.
Well, I'm planning on still name dropping, just so you guys know.
Oh, okay. We know that.
Yeah, I will name drop.
We're not expecting anything else, to be frank with you.
Prepare. So. Prepare for the name drop. In fact, I may drop a few coming up here soon, real soon.
Yeah. Like what? Go ahead. Give us some. Just go.
Well,
give us the name.
You know, guys, earlier today, I just happened to call Dave Roberts to, just kind of talk to him a little bit afterwards, after the game.
The manager of the Dodgers.
Right. Yeah, so I just called Dave Roberts up, just
because you
could have
just called the guy whose name is Dave Roberts, because there's a lot of those too. So there's that.
No, I was actually calling the guy, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, and I was calling him to talk to him about what happened last night. You know, see that, Lynn? See the way I name dropped?
Yeah, but you really weren't going to call him.
No, I actually really did call him.
Did he answer?
He did not. No, as a matter of fact, he didn't. No. Good question, Lindsay.
He's busy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. to mention
busy
he might be flying cross country. Yeah, champagne, cross-country flight. And, Cap, listen, so I don't know if you realize this or not, but we're, in the middle of, a really intense playoff race. So you calling me and texting me, it's I'll get back to you here in a couple weeks when this thing's over.
Are you one, Now, you don't actually expect Dave Roberts to text you back, right? Like, in that situation.
100% I do.
100%. I was just going to say, of course he does.
Of course I do.
Like, okay, I'll give you an example, right? Like, not Dave Roberts, but there are, like, during the NBA Finals, right? Mm-hmm. The general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones, and I literally go back 20-plus years. And I'll send him a text, but I'm not expecting him to get back to me. He eventually gets back to me. I mean, it's in the middle of the finals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, he gets back to me, like, a day or two later. And it's like, oh, thanks, bro. Good to hear from you. You know, like, but, like, you expect him, like, in the immediacy to drop whatever he's doing, right? Let's say he's meeting with his coaches or just talking to players or just kind of getting ready for the game plan, meeting with Andrew Friedman or whoever, right? And just getting ready for the Braves and traveling across the country. You expect an immediate return of the text.
Well, I just expect that if you're holding your phone and you get the text and you see that, you know, hey, I got a text. Oh, it's from this guy. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll get back to him. But, yeah, I do. I kind of expect that. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think that – have you ever not responded to somebody's text?
I have.
Immediately, like when you have your phone in your hand.
Yeah, like, for example, today somebody texted me.
Yeah.
And the text said, call me. And you know what? I might have called this person back. But it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Instead of saying, hey, if you get a minute, could you please do me a favor and give me a call? Instead, it was, call me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not calling you. I don't like the way you're talking to me. And I don't even know if what you're saying is in the tone that I'm receiving it because it's in text. But I'm getting it as, call me.
Right. Versus, now, my guess is you're assuming that that person is saying it in a tone that you dislike because that person might regularly speak to you in a tone you dislike.
Well, I just feel like this person, rather than saying, hey, could you do me a favor and please give me a ring back, I need to talk to you about something.
I mean, that's a lot to text, bro. It's a lot more efficient to just say, hey, call me.
How about please give me a ring? But call me sounds like I'm telling you what to do. And I got a little problem with authority, you know?
You're a crazy person, man. I swear to God, you're a crazy person. Now, Laura, if I text you, call me, what are you going to do?
If I can, I'm going to call you.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, but you don't think I'm calling you to tell you what to do. You think I'm calling you because I need you to call me, right?
Yeah, like if I don't understand why the big deal.
Lindsay, if I text you, call me, are you calling me back?
Yeah, for sure.
And you're just assuming I need something really quick. That's probably.
I would assume it's somewhat important. If you just text the words "call me" and nothing else, I would assume it's rather important.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So what? You did not call this person back. That.
No.
See, that's your B, right? Yeah. To use your parlance, that's your B because that person probably really needed you at that particular moment, and you were not there for them.
Well, you know what? I couldn't call this person because I was standing by waiting for Dave Roberts to call me back, and I didn't want to have to say.
So let's get back to that. The fact that you are – now, what is an appropriate timeline in your mind for him to get back to you on that text?
I'd say like maybe 6 months or so. I don't know.
Oh,
like
okay.
That.
Well, then.
Dang. You.
No, look. Look, here's what I'm saying. I sent Dave Roberts a text saying, yo, Dave. Congratulations. What a series.
Yeah.
Incredible,
right.
Et cetera. And And look, if you have 5 minutes today, man, would we love to chat with you on the air. Now, I know it's asking a lot. I know I'm calling
in. See, but that's where you screwed it up. That's where you screwed it up.
See, why is that?
This is the thing. Why do you have to congratulate him and then you're congratulating him, Dave Roberts, okay?
Right.
But then you're like, congratulations to you. I'm doing this really nice thing by congratulating you on your great accomplishment, okay?
Right. Yeah.
But I also want you to do a favor for me.
Correct. Correct. And so my thought
process
is,
but that's not genuine. You don't really care that much if you just want it to be about you.
Well, no. But here's the thing. If I would have just texted, Dave, got 5 minutes to come on the air? Like, to me, that's rude.
How about just, Dave, congrats, man?
Well, yeah, it was start off with a pleasantry and a congratulations. And
you were just cozying up to him just to get him on the show. This was not about that you were genuinely happy for him.
No, I am genuinely happy for him. But I also was thinking, hey, listen, if you can spare 5 minutes today, man, would it be a fun thing to get you on the air?
But that is that's self-serving. This is not.
Of course it's self-serving.
I'm not
running from
responding
that.
To that. Like,
no,
honestly,
I disagree.
Yeah, no, no one's responding to that.
No, really? So
not if you're like,
come on?
I mean, I would say like, maybe if you're like really close to them, but I don't, I mean, I feel like you and him have a long-standing relationship, but I don't know if you guys are like boys, right? Like, I don't think you're that, right?
Well, yeah, I don't listen. I'm not saying that in the off season that Dave and I are spending, you know, every Saturday night together with
our
wives
and families. Okay, are you communicating with him non-baseball season?
Yes. You got to understand, George, Dave Roberts, before he was the star manager of the Dodgers,
he played
Dave
for the
Roberts.
Padres.
Yeah. He worked for the Padre franchise. Yeah. He played for the Padres way back when. He is a guy that I've known for 20 years. This is a person who I've been to his home. I've gone out to many lunches and dinners with. I have a real life relationship with Dave Roberts.
When was the last time you had a real life relationship with him? Like, were you and him communicated regularly?
Within the last year.
Like, what is regularly?
Texting back and forth, or, you know, he's been a guest on my podcast several times.
No, not guest on the podcast. That doesn't count. I don't count that. Mm-hmm. That's not a count. Okay. That doesn't count.
Well, do we go out for dinner?
You said
often?
You were at his home, which is awesome.
Yes,
that's a real relationship. But when was the last time you and him just like hung out socially?
Oh, it's been a little while. It's been a little while. It was just
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that? What? Give me a timeline.
Year and a half. You know, since the last
before
time
the
I saw
pandemic,
him,
easily.
Yeah. Yeah. But
okay,
during
the pandemic, going on a year and a half.
During the pandemic, he actually needed something from me.
Okay.
And he texted me and said, "Hey, we've got something going on. I could really use your help. Would you jump in and give me a hand?" And I'm like, "Of course, anything for you, man."
Right.
You know, there's a very close-knit group of guys that that all either played together at one time or kind of worked around each other at one time. And there's a group of them. There's probably about 10 or 20 of them. And I'm connected to this group, and Dave's one of those guys.
Yeah,
and so I feel
I get that you have a long-standing relationship with him. I just think that when you give them the congratulations, "Hey, man, really happy for you. Do you have a few minutes?" And then you're asking them for the favor in the same text. I don't know, man. Immediately, I'm like, oh, bro.
Wait a second.
Really?
Let me see the text. Let's see here. No, wait a second. First text was just congrats.
Okay, but you're sending like a series of texts in one sitting.
The next text was, "Hey, I know it's crazy, but if you got 5 minutes, we'd really love to have you on. I know it's crazy times, blah blah blah." But yeah, listen, but George,
so
here's
you
the
double
thing.
Texted Dave Roberts?
Actually, yes, that's
ooh,
right.
Double text. What's worse, a double dip in like a sauce? Like, are you a double dipper on a sauce too?
No. I'm very opposed to double dipping.
Okay, because I feel like. Double text is not so bad if you have a relationship with someone. Like I'm fine with it.
I think with Dave Roberts, I feel like it's a little bad.
No, but Scott does know him for a long time.
Sure.
I'm less worried about the double text than it would be if you were a double dipper.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. People.
But you did ask him for something while congratulating him. It just doesn't feel as genuine anymore.
Well, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to somebody that you have a relationship with, "Hey, look, you had a really big night last night. And it's something that we're all going to be talking about."
Yeah.
And to get you to spend 5 minutes on the air is why you have these relationships.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I mean, not really. You have these relationships because you want them to have a relationship. Like,
well, no, what I'm saying is that when you're in our industry and you're in it for a really long time and you make great relationships, that's part of the benefit of some of these relationships is the ability to contact this person and potentially get them to be part
of what
you're
doing.
But how
many times have you asked Dave to be on the radio with you recently?
Recently? It's been
Like,
been a
give
while
me in the last year and a half since the last time you hung out. A
couple times, a few times.
Yeah. And he's come on once. I know that.
Yeah, I think once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's although like, I will you, say you this, go into after, the well a lot you know, there, I feel
you know
like.
What happened, though? I'll tell you a real quick story, though.
Yeah.
Last year, after the World Series,
yeah,
the World Series that was the shortened season,
yeah,
I texted him, and I said, "Hey, can you come on?" And he said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So he came on. You were on vacation, as a matter of fact.
Right, LZ and you did the interview.
Right.
Yeah.
And he came on the air, and I missed a text from Bergman because I guess the Dodgers had asked Bergman to not mention the Justin Turner situation after the game last year. And I missed it and didn't see it.
And of course you asked him.
Like, well, I said, "Hey," and the way I asked it was not like hardcore go in for a kill type of interview. It was benign, you know, but just anyway, it was a story that everybody was talking about and I missed it. And Bergman was in my ear going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, that's great. Do that to me while we're on the air. Scream in my ear. Why don't you?" While I'm, you know, but I missed the text, you know? And so, I mean, that happened. That
you
happened
are
on
a
the
walking
air.
Sitcom. I swear to God.
Well,
I love it.
Good
this
thing
is
Curb
like
Your
a Curb Your
Enthusiasm
episode, which is interesting because we're going to talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm a little later. So, all right, let's get into last night. Well, can we do that on the other side?
Let's do it.
Because the Dodgers won, and people need to deal with it, basically, is the way I would describe it. Because this reaction today is just annoying. So we'll get to that. Plus, Ramona has double texted me, and she can because we're friends, about something about you, Cap. So we'll get to that on the other side as well. Mama Momo chiming in on the conversation we were just having. So let's get to that. Stick around.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Laura, he knew you were dancing.
Yo, as that music started playing, I literally started dancing on my chair, and then he mentions my name. I'm like, damn, Chris knows me so well.
You were dancing in your chair?
I'm not going to talk about what I was doing, but, you know, I was dancing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was hips moving and shoulders and neck movement, was my guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Genuine. 51 Genuine, Lindsay. Could you believe
young
that?
Young man. It's a very
that
young man.
That makes me feel so old. I remember, when this song came out, and, I was probably in middle school or whatever.
Young man. Man. Young guy.
He's hot still.
See? 51-year-old guy looking. Can be hot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe he's 51. That's like... my dad.
No. That's your dad? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, but...
Your dad's 51?
No, he's a little bit older than that, but still. 51 is a dad age.
It is definitely a dad age.
And you don't think of Genuine, and you think of, you think of him as like a hot, sexy guy.
Pony.
You don't think of dads.
Yeah.
Not that dads can't be hot and sexy, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
I know a couple of dads that are hot and sexy.
Yeah, like who?
Like me and you, buddy.
I don't know about that.
Did you say yourself?
That's right. I said us, me and George. That's
okay.
Right. Hot and sexy.
You could call other dads hot and sexy, but I think calling yourself hot and sexy dad, you at least need someone to suggest it first.
Well, you listen, I didn't just put myself in that category. At least I brought somebody with me.
You did that. See, this is very much in line with your Dave Roberts thing. Like, you're doing the nice thing, but you're also doing the thing for yourself, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, look, you finally admitted it.
Yeah,
so I appreciate that. Because Laura and Lindsay, I know Chris agrees with me because he already texted the text chat, but Laura and Lindsay, am I on to something here? That Kaplan is doing the nice thing, but also doing the nice thing so that Roberts can then do the thing for him.
Yes. 100%. 1,000%.
You always gotta have something in it for you, right?
You're an angler.
Yeah,
Kaplan.
Exactly. That's the word.
You're an angler. That's what you are, an angler.
Well, congratulating Dave Roberts is a nice thing to do, and I think it's a lovely gesture.
Very true.
But by the same token,
he knows.
He knows why I'm going to send him a note on a day like today. Not dumb. He knows.
No.
You should have just sent, if you were really just going to send the note because you guys do have a friendly conversation, you guys know each other, you just send a text. I have friends. I actually have a friend who just got this huge promotion. She was killing. She's killing the game. And I literally just text her, hey, girl, congrats.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
so I'll give you a sports example. Okay, in the bubble, the Lakers played the Heat, right? In the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And I sent a message to one Patrick James Riley, who won 4 championships with the Los Angeles Lakers. And
wait, do you need to stop and pick something up? Do you need to pick something up there?
I did. I will pick it up, and then I will give it right back to you.
But wait, that's a little different because it was in a work context. So carry on.
So Patrick James Riley, I just sent him a message like, hey, man, congrats. This is awesome to see you guys, in this position again. Pretty cool. This is a guy who literally, I grew up covering this guy, in my life. My career was formulated by covering that man. But I didn't ask. You think I asked him? Hey, you think Pat,
did you want him to come on the air?
No,
did
absolutely not.
Okay,
zero.
See, so that's the difference.
Yes.
That's the difference. You were congratulating Pat just to say congratulations.
Yes.
I was saying congratulations to Dave, but at the same time, I was also inviting him to come on the air. Now, Laura.
You should have waited a few days, by the way.
Yeah, well, but today's Friday, so I guess I could wait till Monday. Laura, your friend that got this new job and this great promotion, right?
Yes, sir.
You send congratulations to that person, yes?
I did.
Is that person going to make an appearance on the show anytime soon?
No.
Okay, so you see, guys, here's the difference. I'm congratulating someone who I have a friendship with, but that person is also very relevant to our audience. So I'm saying, hey, congrats, because I'm starting with a pleasantry. Then I'm working into, but I have an ulterior motive.
Of course you do.
Can you come on the show?
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
But you could have waited because my friend could make an appearance here. She is very relevant. Not in sports, but just relevant to LA.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, yo, you know what I mean? Like you let it marinate, Cap.
No, I disagree. Let me ask you a question.
You're not a marinator.
If I were the producer, if I were producing the show today and said, hey guys, I'm going to go after Dave Roberts. I'm going to go after Dave Roberts to get him on the air today. Mm-hmm. Should I not do that? I mean, is that not a relevant person to possibly put on the air today? So for me, I have his number. I have a relationship. Hey, congratulations. Good for you. Super happy for you. Next text. Hey, by the way, I'm calling in a small favor. Can you possibly give us 5 minutes? Now, if he could, I'm guessing he would. Thus far, I haven't heard back from him. I mean, they've traveled. They partied overnight. They're busy. I got it. But yes, he understands. That's why I'm texting. It's no secret. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
No shame in this game.
I'm not doing it to shame you. I just think it's hilarious.
Ain't no shame in this game.
Yeah. Anyway, so real quick, let's talk about yesterday's game because I do want to get to this Ramona text, which I think is pretty funny too. So the Dodgers win, and people have lost their mind. All they want to talk about is, oh, the terrible check swing and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, I get it. It was a terrible check swing call. Like, it wasn't a strike. But I'll do this. You know, Kaplan, I love me the numbers, right? I love playing the percentages. I'm big on that, right? You do what the percentages say, and it's why they chose the path that they chose yesterday, Dave Roberts and company, right? That's the reason they went out there and started Corey Knebel and, you know, brought in Brusdar Graterol after that, and then finally brought in Urias in the third inning. So I'm a big believer in that. And what happened yesterday, okay, let's just say for argument's sake, that ump says, nope, didn't swing. It is 1-2 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and it's Wilmer Flores at the plate against arguably the greatest pitcher of this generation, arguably, he's in the discussion, right, of this particular era. Off a 1-0 loss, okay? And all he's got to throw is one inning. Like, do we honestly believe that the math isn't heavily tilted into Max Scherzer's favor? Like, almost like 90% that he's going to get him out anyway?
Yes. The math is in the favor of the pitcher, not in the hitter. As a matter of fact, one of the, you know, baseball writers, Bob Nightingale, I'm sure everybody knows that name from USA Today,
yeah.
He put out a tweet that said, look, if they would have called that a ball, it's a 1-2 count. Scherzer's still on the mound and Flores is still in the batter's box. And career numbers, Flores against Scherzer is 0-17 with 8
Correct.
Strikeouts.
Yeah.
So the numbers suggest that Scherzer was going to win the battle. I mean, here's Flores, who's never gotten a hit off Scherzer and who struck out 8 times against Scherzer. Now, that's true. On the other hand, George, it only takes one pitch and one stroke of the bat to hit the ball to completely change the game. And so while I'm sure Giants fans today are devastated and Dodger fans today are in celebration mode, those that didn't really have a dog in the fight, at least what I've seen all through social media, is they feel cheated as if, gosh, you know, the numbers were in the favor of Scherzer and the Dodgers, to be sure. But still, a first base umpire rings a guy up on a check swing from in that game 5 in the bottom of the ninth with 2 down. Man, that's a gutsy thing to do as a first base umpire. And I mean, there was like a practical post game, you know, admission of, yeah, it doesn't look like a strike now, does it? No, not really. So listen, doesn't really matter, though. What's done is done, and that is the human element of the game. The Dodgers
right.
move on. The Giants don't. That's
right.
the end all.
And my thing is this, just to add to that, this is a sport where literally the guys who are the most successful at it at the plate are, what, succeeding 30% of the time? You know what I mean? Like, the numbers are so tilted in the favor of the pitcher, even against the great guys, okay? Like, so just it's just nonsense to me. So anyway, so I'm annoyed by that. I'm annoyed that no one is talking about the genius of the Dodgers and Dave Roberts. They're stinking geniuses. It should be called the text message game because he texted the whole thing to Gabe Kapler. And, you know, it's a win for the Dodgers. It's a win for analytics. Nobody's talking about that today. All we're talking about is the stupid check swing, which probably would have been an out anyway down the road.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'd like to talk about. To me, I found last night's game to be one of the most fascinating game fives or decisive games, could be a game seven, in any sport at any time. I've literally been racking my brain all day long.
Rack 'em.
Has there ever been a time that you can think of where two teams are 100% perfectly evenly matched, where all the statistics say that these two teams are completely even? George, did you realize that last night, as the game was going to the top of the ninth inning, there was an overhead shot of the ballpark in San Francisco, and it had the innings 0-0, 0-0. And then the Dodgers and the Giants both scored one run in the sixth inning. So if you were to look at the score, it was 1-1. Both teams had six hits. They had zero errors. They both scored in the sixth. Every single number was exactly the same. They were separated by one game during the regular season. They had the same number of wins going into yesterday's game. They had the same number of runs going into the top of the ninth inning. They both scored in the same inning. They both had the same number of hits. I mean, everything was as evenly matched as I've ever seen in any sport at any time. I can't think of anything
including, by the way, also feeling jilted by a check swing. They won the division because of a check swing back in August. So, you know what? Life's a B. There's a reason to shorten the word, a word with the letter B. Not my bad, but my, you know the word I was.
I do know the word, say. Yeah.
Rhymes with which. Mm-hmm. But either way, all right, coming up next, what should we call this series? Vince Scully said it was the greatest series and game yesterday in the rivalry's history. What should that game or series be called? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll get more into the series. I want to get into the Raiders and what the hell they do next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love Duck Hunt, and I also did love the dog who would laugh at you and you'd miss. It was actually very funny. What an excellent video game. And, you know, you had to have the gun. Did you cheat with the gun and you put it on the screen when you would just get pissed off and you couldn't hit it?
If you try doing that, it doesn't really work, because I did try doing that. Never
really?
Worked for me.
Huh.
But, yeah, you know,
it worked back in the day.
Did you ever play Duck Hunt, Cap? I feel like it's something you might be good at.
No, I've never played Duck Hunt. You know, I'm very anti-guns in video games, you know? Like, my kids, I'm like,
but this
no.
is like 1988, dude. Yeah, were you anti-guns in 1988?
I've been anti-gun a long time, George. Long time anti-gun. That's right. No, actually, to be honest with you, no. I don't know the game. I never played that game. I don't remember that game.
Okay, I was going to say, if you saw the game, it's like 3x3 pixel that you could barely tell that it's a bird flying in the air.
Yeah. I mean, it's it was like literally like pixel art. How old were you in 1988?
18.
I mean, I feel like video games, 18 is still like something you do, no?
I don't know, man. I feel like the Atari 2600 was the video game console of my childhood.
Right.
You know? And I told you that how I got my Atari, which will tell you that.
Yeah, your dad got like, he did like some sort of scam, right?
Yeah, total scam, because there was nobody in my house that was getting a Nintendo system, okay? That wasn't happening. That wasn't exactly in the fam budget, you know?
Yeah.
So I took a broken Atari 2600. A friend of mine got a brand new Atari 2600. He gave me the box. My dad put my broken system in the box, took it back to the store where the guy got it, said, hey, this doesn't work, returned it, and we walked out with a brand new Atari 2600. That's how I got my brand new game console.
Smart. Mr. Kaplan was smart. There's no doubt.
Smart and cheap.
So is Jay. Jay in L.A. is on the phone, and he's smart because it just simply says he agrees with me, so I'll just assume he's smart. Go ahead, Jay.
Yo, good afternoon. It's a beautiful day in L.A.
It is.
Yo, I'm going to agree with you guys. It was a check swing. Who knows what would have happened. It's Wilmer Flores. He's not going to hit a two-run home run to walk it off, so forget about that. But we've been on that other side of the stick where we get the wrong call or something bad happens to our team, and we get screwed out of the next round. Hanley Ramirez, 2013. I say that was intentional. 2017, look at what happened with the Astros. 2018, some could say it was questionable. Some say it did happen with Boston. You don't know. But those are three huge events that happened to the Dodgers that didn't go our way.
Well,
so why not?
Don't go so far, Jay, against the Giants. Corey Seager, the check swing that they called it a strike. Yeah. I mean, it's the same exact thing, and it cost the Dodgers the division.
And if I may add to that, does no one want to question the fact that the Giants in the past 4 years were never a 500 team? And also, all of a sudden, Logan Webb, who had a almost 6 ERA, is now unhittable in the playoff. When in 2019, he was caught using steroids. And, yo, I don't know if you guys want to look into this, but in high school, he played football. Someone said that's when he started juicing. My guy has over 3,700 yards, 44 touchdowns. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. The Giants out of nowhere just win 107 games from never being able to win 100 games.
Yeah, it takes more than one dude. Now, Jay, I appreciate the call. Now, Cap, look, I'm a firm believer that there are plenty of guys in sports, not just baseball, in sports using PEDs still. They're just better at not getting caught. I also don't care that any of them are using, if they are, using PEDs. I didn't care when they were using PEDs because all of this is for my entertainment. Right. I know people scream and yell about the records and the sanctity of the game. I'm like, no, bro, it's entertainment. I don't care about your
records. Yeah, and people forget pretty quickly because did anybody see Barry Bonds sitting there last night at the game, like being celebrated like the great San Francisco Giant legend that
he is?
Well,
he was always celebrated in San Francisco no matter what, though.
Fair point, but I mean, listen, there was no defending what Barry Bonds had. He was busted. He was guilty. Point being, though, is that, you know, he's there last night and nobody up there cares. He's their hero. He's the guy who hit all those home runs. He still had to put the bat on the ball. Look, I know people are like, it's just so wrong and it's not right, the history of the game. And I'm like, dude, hit as many home runs as you can. Okay, let him juice as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you. We agree. Yeah. Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, what do you got?
Hello?
Yo, Solomon.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm outside. A lot of traffic noise. Yeah, I'm going to call it the comeuppance game. You know why? I'll tell you why. Did Wilmer Flores swing at that last pitch? Probably not. Giants get screwed? Probably. Did the Giants cheat when they had a spy in center field for the Bobby Thompson home run? You bet they did. It's been documented. Baseball gods, baby. Dodgers won. Giants won. Thank you very much. Moving on. Bring on the Braves.
Okay, Solomon, thank you for the call. I guess that's fair. All is fair in love and war, they say.
But, you know, I forgot, though, George, last night. When the Giants, after the game, brought up the fact that there was a check swing earlier in the season that actually helped the Giants beat the Dodgers in L.A. And the way they brought that up was like, well, we kind of got one earlier, and now they got one here. It just so happens this was Game 5, the elimination game. But we definitely got one from them earlier in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Juan in L.A. Juan, what's up?
Yeah, I want to call it the check for the West. Because that check swing was just, like, beautiful. I love that it ended like that. And I'm even surprised that shoe polish right there is okay with it, man. I thought he'd be upset that the Dodgers won. But and on another note, you know, I want to congratulate you on doing games because a couple of weeks ago I heard you and shoe polish right there, you know, do a game while I was on my way home, and it was great. So congrats to you and all that.
Me and
shoe polish. Are you calling me shoe polish, Juan?
Yeah, shoe polish, because he paints his hair with shoe polish. Huh?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No. Now, hold on a second here. I don't paint my hair with shoe polish. I get it properly dyed by the girl who does my hair. That's not shoe polish. That's like Just for Men in a salon or something, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Okay, then my apologies, man. I just thought you did it with some shoe polish. My bad.
No, man. Yeah. Not with shoe polish, with proper hair dye.
Are you congratulating? Who are you congratulating about doing games? Me or Cap?
You, man.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing it with Scott.
No, but we were doing it on the air. We were rehearsing for you.
Right. But he said he listened to me. He caught me doing a game recently.
No. I said I heard you doing the game while I was driving home on the radio one day with shoe polish right there.
Oh.
But I'm sorry with the name shoe polish. My bad.
No. But I want a different name. I want a different one.
Properly painted. I'm gonna call you.
Properly painted. I like that.
Properly painted. I can live with properly painted. Shoe polish doesn't work because it's not shoe polish. But
all right, Juan. Gracias.
You know, George, I did get my hair cut recently, and I did not get my hair dyed, and it is kind of going a little salt and pepper, not to mention I haven't shaved all week, and I got a little salt and pepper going there, and I can't decide, does it look distinguished and sophisticated, or does it just look old? I haven't made up my mind yet.
I don't know. Ask the ladies. What do you think, Laura?
I mean, first of all, I didn't notice that you did all that stuff. So
that's actually just good enough right there. We don't need any more. Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like when, I don't mind when guys dye their hair, but I like when they mix it, you know, so it's not super obvious, like you're just like, blatantly covering it all.
Like, you don't want to do what, like the reverse, like what Mason used to do.
Yes, I don't like that. I think you can mix it in and make it look natural, at least, you know, so you're like, aging gracefully.
Yeah.
Not just covering it up.
I know, but it's like my 14-year-old daughter who doesn't like my breathing and doesn't like my eating. She also doesn't like my gray hair. So a lot of times we'll go to like a CVS, we'll buy a Just for Men, and then she'll do my hair. And the only problem is the color never really works. You know, then all of a sudden I'm a redhead. I'm like an Oompa Loompa.
Well, you're using the wrong kind. That's why.
Wrong brand or wrong color?
No, I think it's the wrong color. This is a whole off-air conversation. I can help you out with it. Because,
wow. There you go. Lynn's can give you some tips.
Yeah. My best friend she does hair, and she's the only person I let touch my hair. And I found a gray hair recently and was freaking out about it. Oh. And she was like, don't pluck them because people apparently pluck them. Mm. And she was like, don't.
I do.
Yeah. She said, don't do that because then I don't know, something about.
Allegedly, they grow more back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I don't know if that's an old wives' tale, though.
I think it is. I think it is.
You know what, though? It's true. Because I used to pluck one and now I have like five in that one spot. I'm like, I'm 33. No.
I have one. I have one on like one of my sideburns. That's it. Like
uno? That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Finding a gray hair on your head is horrible. Okay. Try finding one on your chest. You're like, wait a second, what's going on here?
I can beat that. I have one on my eyebrow.
You have a gray have hair on your eyebrow?
One. I pluck it because I get cool, so actually. Mad. Yeah. It's like one.
Do you have any in your nose hair when they do the wax in your hair, Kaplan?
I do, although, you know, I did tell you that I've given up on all of my nostril waxings.
Yes.
I think I'm still picking wax out of my nose.
Yeah, probably.
From a few weeks ago.
You know... Speaking of picking stuff, the Raiders are going to have to pick a coach. They're also going to have to pick up from their losing ways to get back to their winning ways. So what the heck happens with the Raiders this weekend? What kind of adjustments are we looking at with them? We'll get to that in just a moment. Stick around.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, happy Friday. Dodgers are going to the NLCS. They play tomorrow. Are we going to have the game on here tomorrow? I don't even know anymore. Like Bergman sends so many emails. I can't even check anymore. I don't even know. Do we know? Lindsay, can
you
tell us?
We do have it.
Okay, we have it tomorrow. You can catch it right here on 710 ESPN.
What about Wednesday of next week? Because, you know, we got the Lakers on Tuesday for the tip of the season. And then Wednesday, the Dodgers and Braves, I believe it's game three, which would be back in L.A. Mm-hmm. Is that game also? Are we going to air that? Do we know yet?
It's a little too early. Yeah.
We don't know yet.
You always take that extra step.
I got to go forward, man. I got to look into the future, man. I got a crystal ball. I got to make my plans. You understand?
Oh,
it's funny.
Like you do. You take the extra step. I do appreciate that about you, though. I will say this. You do cut off the extra step sometime before I get to the Raiders. So, Ramon, I meant to mention this text she sent. She said, she asked me the question, do we really need to shorten bad to be? As in when you say my B.
Yeah.
Because she says the girls in high school she used to go to used to shorten Taco Bell to just Bell, and she thought that was silly.
not Taco B?
Yeah, because she says that you would spend more time explaining it than shortening the word. You know what I mean? So it's like, which is a fair point, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. My bad somehow became my B. What I try and do is, and I think all moms and dads out there can appreciate where I'm about to come from, when you have a teenager and they use certain phrases, I try and incorporate those phrases to make me sound a little younger.
No, for example. This is where you can't do that.
Why?
They don't want you to sound like them.
Okay, but let me give you an example. You ready? Yeah. If I had a piece of pizza and I think it's really good, I'll go like this. I'll go, yo, this pizza is fire. You know, fire didn't mean really good back in the day. It actually meant like things are on fire. Like there's flames, it's hot, things can burn. Now, if something's really, really good, it's fire or it's dope or it's bomb. And so I try to incorporate these, you know, these new definitions into my terminology so that, you know, when you look at my gray hair, you go, oh, that's a young guy. He just happened to go gray early. See what I'm saying?
Linz, like, how do you feel about Kaplan trying to emulate his younger children's vocabulary?
I don't know. I just think it's funny, especially how the meanings of words really do change. Like, dope. You know, dope is like, oh, that's cool. It's a good thing.
It's no longer a drug. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Or what's another one? Like,
drugs make you feel good. I mean, so there's that.
I'll give you a new one that I'm using a lot.
Have long-lasting effects, but I mean, they do make you feel good.
You did use one the other day that you were trying to be super hip, and it was not working.
Which one? Do you remember which one it was?
I can't remember.
All right, well, next time, do me the favor of at least writing it down and tell me, like critique it. Say, hey, that sounded really good and very natural, or, hey, that didn't sound very good. I'll give you a new one that I'm using now. My new one is this. Oh, that is gas. Now, gas used to just mean stuff you put in your car.
Not.
You know,
don't say
then,
that ever again.
Then gas has the
don't.
Sports.
Don't say that ever again.
But there's
please.
Sports.
No, like actually, please keep saying it. Actually.
If a pitcher throws really fast, he's throwing gas. But now, if
that's
something, if something's really good, now it's gas.
No.
Ooh, that's gas.
No.
Laura, how do you feel about Kaplan's vocabulary here?
I mean, you just try too hard, like. I wouldn't want my parents sounding like me, so just don't do it. Yeah.
I don't think they want you sounding like them either, to be honest with you. Like, Cap, if you had to guess, when you say those things back to your kids, do they giggle when you do it?
No, they're upset. Because just to give you an example, Laura, here's a phrase that, like, my daughter, who's 14, will call me bro. And then once she calls me bro, I'll call her bro every second for the next, like, 5 minutes, to the point where she's like, bro, stop calling me bro. And I'm like, okay, bro, I'll stop calling you bro. It's all good, bro. Like, and so now I just irritate her by calling her what she just called me. You feel me, bro?
This is why they act the way they act with you and they get annoyed with you.
Yeah, this is why they don't like the way you breathe.
I mean, I didn't want to say all that, but yeah, pretty much. And then you have them calling the station to call you things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but that's also because I didn't know when somebody was born. So that's legit.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a big deal,
that's
too.
That's a bad,
All right, so let's do this, bro. Let's talk about the Raiders. So, look, you played football, man. I would imagine that. Now, did you ever lose a coach, like, midseason or anything like that, or no?
Not that I can think of midseason, but definitely.
But how about
lost
change
coaches?
Of coaching, oh, like,
yeah,
from year to year?
Time. Yeah, for sure. Twice in my college career, man.
So that, I would imagine that adjustment was difficult. I would imagine this is even more difficult.
I think the Raiders are either going to, I think one of two things happens with the Raiders based on what took place this past week with John Gruden and his resignation. Either the Raiders really rally, you know, because, George, I'm sure you saw the press conferences earlier this week. You know, Derek Carr, did you see what he had to say about John Gruden? When everybody else in the world was distancing themselves from John Gruden?
Yeah, he talked about how much he loved him. And
I love the guy, and I love his family, and we had a great relationship, and I'm really sad about what's happened to him. Now, I saw what he said, and I didn't really like it, but that all, you know, aside, I love the guy. And so he didn't like, say, hey, I don't ever want to talk about him. You know, like Sean McVay, everybody was going to ask Sean McVay, like, Coach, this is your mentor. What do you think? And Sean's like, you know, we just got an opportunity here against the Giants this week, and that's what we're really focused on around here. And so
That was actually not a terrible McVay, I got to be honest with you.
I'm working on it. I'm working on a McVay impression. Yeah. So that's early stages. Yeah. But that's why people are going to ask them these questions. And I think for the Raiders, you're either going to have this locker room come together and say, look what has happened to our team. Look where we were 2 weeks ago. Look where we are today. Look what has happened. We got to rally together. Or they're going to completely fall apart, fall flat on their face, and this season just spirals quickly. So for me, I see it as one of two. They rally, they compete, they're alive, or they fall flat on their face and they die, and this season becomes just a giant disaster.
So
I'm not sure there's an in-between.
Is there a feasible third option? Like, I think those are your only two options, right? Like, either you continue to thrive or you fail, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, right?
Yeah, I can't really find like that middle ground. You know what I'm saying?
Because you made it sounded really profound when you said it, right? But then I thought about what you were actually saying. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the way it works. There's two roads here.
Yeah.
There's either they rally and things are good, or no, they don't rally and it's a disaster, right?
But,
and,
what I don't see is like an 8-9 or a 9-8. You know, I don't see that.
See what you're saying now. Okay.
I see either giant implosion or rally and compete. You know, I don't see that, hey, we'll just sort of linger.
But
8-9,
they're 3-2 right now. You can't see them just keep winning a few and losing a few? I don't know, you know.
Well, I just feel like, you know, you look at the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, a guy named Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's been a long time NFL assistant coach, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. As a matter of fact, before John Gruden got the head coaching job in Oakland, Greg Olsen was the coordinator for Sean McVay. Yeah. And when Gruden took the head coaching job, Olsen announced he was leaving the Rams and he was going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And so he's been around a long time. And by the way, if you go deeper into his resume, when Derek Carr was drafted by the Raiders, Greg Olsen was the offensive coordinator of the Raiders back then. So he was Derek Carr's original offensive coordinator. So could Greg Olsen, the way he calls a game, the way he devises a game plan, could it be different? Could it be better than what John Gruden was doing? That to me is a big question mark about this game this weekend.
All right, we'll see how that works itself out. All right, coming up next, you mentioned Sean McVay and your Sean McVay impersonation. I do want to get into the Rams. They're kind of in this unique situation too. Bounce back or trap game? We'll get to that in a little bit. Plus, some takeaways from the Dodgers series and what they've done and accomplished to this point. We'll get to some of that and some Lakers talk coming up. Stick around, 710 ESPN, back in 3 minutes and 30 seconds.